thankful for this morning. Thankful that you have gathered us together. Thank you for the group of people that meets here and the fellowship we enjoy and the opportunities that we have. Thank you for the church that is here. Lord, we pray for your presence and pray that you would bless our study this morning. Be with us, Lord, and help us to glean all the lesson that we can from your book. We ask, Lord, that you be with our children and bless their study. We pray, Lord, for the tornado victims of Oklahoma. Pray that you would help them to recover their lives. Lord, we also ask that you be with the works that we support, Cambodia and also Ukraine, and bless the country of Ukraine and help them in their war with Russia. We ask, Lord, that you watch over the works that we undertake and be with us, Lord, and may we do all things to your glory. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us for we do fail you, and we pray that you'd help us to always seek to do our best. Be with us, Lord, and forgive us where we fail you. And we say this, we offer this prayer in your Son's name. Amen. Okay. Before we turn to Haggai, go to Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 29. I always find this passage to be fascinating. I mean, it's just because Jeremiah predicts to the very year when the people will return, when they will return from captivity in Babylon. In the first verse of chapter 29, he says, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, to the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon." Okay? Now look at verse 10. "Well, thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good works toward you and cause you to return to this place." Okay. 70 years, he predicted it, and that's exactly what happened. 70 years after they're carried away by the Babylonians, carried away in captivity, Cyrus and the Persians defeated the Babylonians in battle. Cyrus was a much more kinder, much more benevolent king than the Assyrians or the Babylonians. And so he released the captives, and they were allowed to return to their homeland, including the Israelites. And the years come out exactly 70. It's written in history. 70 years afterwards, they were allowed to return in 536 B.C. Okay, now we can go to Haggai. That's a little bit of background. That's what has happened in between the prophets Habakkuk, Jeremiah, and Zephaniah. And then roughly 70 years, 100 years later, comes the prophet Haggai. And Haggai has a special mission. Get forward on my slides. Haggai, his mission, as it says there, is to he delivers four messages, but primarily he's going to encourage the people to rebuild the temple. Rebuild the temple. They've should have finished it by the time he starts prophesizing, but they had barely started. Okay. He delivers four messages, but the main message, the main theme was to finish the temple. Should have already done this, but you haven't. Okay. We don't know much about Haggai. All we know is his prophet. We don't know what his occupation was. He must have lived there in Jerusalem. All that's written about him is in this book and also in the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2 and 6:14. They spell out, they declare the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. And that they were the ones who would deliver the message to finish the temple. The date is 520 BC, 16 years after the first returnees from exile came. Okay, they came in five. They started coming back from Babylon in 536 BC. And this message comes in 520 BC. Okay. That picture there, that's up there on the screen, it just shows the people migrating from Jerusalem to Babylon. And this shows the route. They went from Jerusalem all the way to Babylon and returned the same way. You might ask why they didn't go a straight line, why they went up north and then followed the Euphrates. Well, if they went straight across, that would have been through the desert. Okay, the Arabian desert. We know that from history that was a very hazardous journey. You might compare it to like the Trail of Tears here in America. That's the way it was for them as well. Maybe even worse. So then they took the same route going to Babylon and coming back. All right, questions about that, when and what the purpose? Okay, let's go to Haggai. And we'll read the first six verses. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet of Zerubbabel, the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house shall be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses and the temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in a little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Okay, so what is Haggai telling them? All their efforts are fruitless. What they are doing, trying to accomplish, is not coming out as what they would like. They don't even have enough to keep themselves warm. And why was that? the Lord was not blessing them, was he? It's, yeah. Their crops were failing. They were not producing because they were in disobedience. They were not faithful to what they should have been doing, right? Okay. It talks about paneled houses. So they were building nice homes, which this is not condemning that, but it's condemning what? The fact that they should have taken care of the Lord's house first, wasn't it? That's what it was all about, okay? They should have taken care of the Lord's house, should have built the Lord's house, showed your devotion to God before you started working on your own homes, or had done it at the same time. Okay. All right. One other thing I should point out that he says, Haggai says that this is from the Lord. And you will see that repeated several times in this short book. The book only has two chapters, and I think 36 times he says it's from the Lord. Looking through my notes. 26 times. 26 times in this short book, he declares that this is from the Lord. Okay. So he tells him, consider your ways. Think about this. Think about what you're doing. And oftentimes we need to consider what we are doing. Take a look at our lives. Okay, let's continue on, verses 7 through 11. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins. Well, every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withheld the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I call for a drought on the land, and the mountains on the grain, and the new wine, and the oil, and on whatever the grounds bring forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Okay. All right. So just as we pointed out before, the Lord was not blessing their work, was he? He had not brought the dew that was needed for the crops to grow. He was not providing all the sunshine that was needed. Had a drought. Called for a drought on the land. And it was all because they didn't. They were not faithful, and they did not build the temple. Okay. It's very similar to what Christ said, you know, about why do you worry about what you eat, what you will drink? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, Matthew 6:33. Very similar thought, isn't it? They've taken care of the Lord's work, done his will, then the Lord would take care of them. Same for us today. Okay. All right, now we're going to see that the people respond. The people respond to Haggai's encouragement. Read 12 through 17. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. So the Lord their God has sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. On the 24th day of the sixth month, in the sixth year of King Darius. Okay? So how much time took place? Go back to verse 1. 24 days? Yeah, same month. 24 days. He says here the 24th day, and then earlier he said the first day of the month, sixth month. So, in that message, in that time frame, the people were encouraged and they set to work. And they do set about this very strenuous work, very strenuous work. I got a picture of that. Yeah. Okay. We have to keep in mind that they didn't have cranes like we do today. So they didn't have any kind of mechanical things like we do today. Nothing electrical. So it's all done by hand, by man. I'm sure they had cattle and they had horses to sometimes carry the load, but it's still very strenuous work. The picture shows them with their spears. Why was that? Why did they have spears? Yes. Haggai doesn't say it, but we know from Nehemiah and Ezra that they were often under attack from the neighboring nations. Not the Persians, but the nations around them, countries around them. They were not very enthusiastic. They were not friendly toward Jerusalem when they returned. Toward the Jews when they returned. Okay. So it was very strenuous and very hazardous work, but yet they set about to do it. Okay, let's go on to chapter 2 and the second message. Second message, word of encouragement. In the seventh month, this was the very next month. On the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the remnant of the people." Okay, I should just point out that he always delivered this message to who? Zerubbabel and Jehozua. To Joshua, and sometimes it says Jehoshua. But he always delivered that message to them because they were the leaders of the people, right? Give that message to them, and they were to deliver it to the people. They must be the ones who directly tell the people what to do, okay? So it's important that he did that. Okay, verse 3. "Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory, and how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, Once more, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, shake the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Okay.
And in my version, it has a little footnote saying that John 1:41 be a verse of the New Testament to compare.
Okay, so say that again.
John 1:14.
Yes. Okay, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Okay. That's just like a reference to the fact that the God was with them and among them, isn't it? Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you. Solomon's temple, which a picture of it is up on the screen, and it was... You know, it was tremendous. It had silver, all the silver and gold, and you see I don't know what it's called, but the cows there in front, they were all gold. But this temple that the people were building now it did not compare with that. They just did not have the material to make it that great as it once was. That would, of course, that would make them somewhat discouraged, wouldn't it? But God sent Haggai to tell them, do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. Because in time, God's temple will be more glorious, even more glorious than it was in Solomon's day. In what way will it be more glorious? How will it be more glorious? Is the temple ever rebuilt like in Solomon's day? No. No, that never comes about. But yet the temple today and the temple during the time of Christ is the church, right? Okay. So that's what Haggai's message is the glory is going to come in the form of the church, the body of Christ. Okay. To see that, we can compare this passage with Hebrews. Okay, turn to Hebrews 12:26-28. I'll start reading with verse 25. See then that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we do not turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now has promised, saying, Yet once more I shall shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more in the case of the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of these things are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. And now notice verse 28. Here's where it makes a comparison with that of Haggai in Haggai. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. And the kingdom is the church, right? Church which we are a part of. Okay. So Haggai, without knowing it, was making a reference to the future kingdom, the future church. We can also see that when he's in the very last part of Haggai's message, when he says, "And in this place I will give peace. I will give peace," says the Lord of hosts. Christ brought peace, didn't he? Okay. I will bring peace. That was one of his messages. I bring peace. Okay. Nevertheless, Haggai's message, even though the people didn't foresee what he was talking about, his message did encourage them. Don't be concerned about how this is not a building that like that in Solomon's day. Just know that this will be glorious. Okay. So he accomplished that purpose, Haggai did, encouraging people. Okay. Questions, comments about that? All right, let's finish. Well, let's go on to verses 10 through 14, where the third message comes. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai and the prophet, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, now I ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy?" Then the priest answered and said, "No." And Haggai said, "If one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean?" So the priest answered and said, "It shall be unclean." And Haggai answered and said, "So is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and what they offer is unclean." Okay, let's go on from verse 19. And now carefully consider from this day forward, from before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, there were but 10. When one came to a wine vat to draw out 50 baths from the press, there was but 20. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail in all the labors of your hands, and you did not turn to me, says the Lord. Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the month, the ninth month, and from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed still in the barn? And yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree have not yielded fruit? But from this day I will bless you. Okay. All right, so there's a lot said there about clean and unclean. What was the problem? Why was the Lord asking that? And what was the problem with the people?
They hadn't given their heart to God. They thought association would get them there.
Okay. And given their heart to God. We could also say that they were defiled, weren't they, in some way? It'd have to be, because he says it is unclean. Okay. So they were violating some part of God's law. From the book of Ezra, we know that many of them intermarried with the foreign nations around them. Okay. And so Ezra spoke very much against that. So that, no doubt, was part of the problem. Their intermarriage with the people around them. That was strictly condemned in Moses' law from the beginning. They were not to intermarry. Okay, so that defiled them. And then, no doubt, they were committing other evils, other sins. Okay. So in order for their work to be fully blessed, what did they need to do?
Obey God.
Obey God and remove the impurity, right? Whatever the impurity was. Okay. From the book of Ezra, we know that those who did it intermarry, they immediately were told they had to divorce. They had to do away with their partner from a foreign country, foreign nation. In order for their work on the temple to be blessed, they would have to follow God's law, remove the impurity. If they do that and all that that he was writing in 15 through 19, if they do what they're supposed to, remove the impurities, remove that fault, whatever the faults were, then he would bless them and he would bless their work. Okay. Same with us today, isn't it? Okay. If we have a sin in our life, if we have faults in our life that are not according to what God would want, before we can proceed with God's work, we must remove that, do away with that sin. All right. Okay, there's one final message, a fourth message. And this comes just about the same time as the third message. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of the kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them, the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. And that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring. For I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts." Okay, so God was going to overthrow the kingdoms of the nations. Okay, and this was going to be in the same time as the third month, 24th day of the ninth month. It's actually what he says. Just as he had overthrown previous kingdoms. You know, he had overthrown Assyria and then Babylon. And this, he was going to overthrow the Persian kingdom. And then he makes a special promise to Zerubbabel. Same time that he overthrows these nations, what's going to happen to Zerubbabel? Makes Zerubbabel a signet ring. A signet ring. What do you mean by a signet ring? Okay. Pardon me?
One with authority and the royalty.
Yes. Uh-huh. One with authority and the royalty, okay? During the biblical times, they had what they called a signet ring, and they would stamp all documents with that signet ring, okay? That's what the picture up there represents, okay? So Zerubbabel was a sign that he would have all authority, okay? Does this take place during Zerubbabel's time, though, while he's still alive? No, no. Okay. So it's a messianic message, isn't it? Okay. Let's look at Matthew 1 and 12 and 16. Matthew 1, verses 12 and 16. I should have had this marked in my Bible. Okay, verse 12. And after this, and after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Okay. And then verse 16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the son of Hezron and Mary, whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Okay. So, what is Zerubbabel to Christ? Ancestor? Yeah, direct ancestor. So this message about the signet ring was a prediction of Christ, the coming of Christ, wasn't it? A messianic message. All glory would transfer through Zerubbabel onto Christ. Foreshadow the greatness of Christ. Look again at that passage, and it says there, verse 23, "My servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, I will make you as a signet ring, for I have chosen you." Okay, Christ was the chosen one, wasn't he? The anointed one, says the Lord of hosts. So it was a promise of the coming Messiah, made through Zerubbabel. Comments about that? Any questions? Okay. Let's talk about lessons we can take from Haggai. First of all, the importance of putting God's work foremost, right? We saw that in the first chapter, didn't we? Very first, they put off building the temple. It's kind of an ugly word, but they procrastinated, didn't they? Okay, and we should always strive not to do that. Okay? There's work to be done, and for the Lord, we should put that first. But that foremost.
God hates indifference.
I'm sorry?
God hates indifference.
Uh-huh. He hates indifference. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Right. Very much so. Yeah. And when we're not devoted to God, not putting him above all else, he's definitely not on our side, is he? All right. Okay. Secondly, I think we can see that everyone is to work. Haggai, when he delivered his message, delivered it to whom? The leaders, didn't he? Okay. To Zerubbabel and Joshua. Joshua being the high priest. Okay. So everyone is to work, including leaders. Today, God's holy temple is us. Okay. We saw that in the very first part of the second chapter. Temple is the Lord's. Okay. From 1 Peter, I had a, let's see if I can find it. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The church is God's special people, God's special light, okay. Holy nation. We are his temple today. And then lastly, we saw the danger of letting evil, any impurity, contaminate our lives. Okay? God will not bless us, will not bless our efforts if there is any evil, any contamination there. Their work was not blessed. Our work will not be blessed. Anyone got any final words, final comments? We just got a minute. Yes.
You know, we talk about devotion to God, and we read about these incidents in the Bible, and they were completely devoted to God. Everything that happened, everything that will happen, is all devoted to God. And today,
That's very true. Sometimes we take care of our own needs first. Okay. Next week we will look at Zechariah.